This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. It's Anything Goes Friday, but there are a couple things that I wanted to share with you. The first is Google. Mr. Paulson, Jack Paulson is his name. He works for Google. He's a mathematician. In fact, prior to that, he was at Stanford University. He was teaching, an assistant professor in their mathematics department. And he has said, Google has this project, it's called Dragonfly. And what it is a search engine, a Google-like search engine, that is specifically censored in ways that are acceptable to the government of China. So there's no mention of human rights, there's no mention of democracy, there's no mention of Tiananmen Square, there's no mention of dissidents, there's no mention of free speech, there's no mention of human rights, there's no mention of peaceful protest. All this stuff scrubbed out of Google. And Google has had teams working on this in California. And this fellow, along with a number of other people, he wrote a resignation letter saying, "Due to my conviction that dissent is fundamental to functioning democracies, I am forced to resign in order to avoid contributing to or profiting from the erosion of protection of dissidents." He has signed this paper. Well, actually, Google's actual policy. "The company will not design or deploy technologies whose purpose contravenes widely accepted principles of international law and human rights. Except in China, if you protest, you go to jail. In fact, you can even be put to death." And Google is just apparently fine with that as long as they can make some money in China. Now, arguably you could say the same thing about every other American company that is outsourcing something to China. They are implicitly or explicitly supporting that dictatorship. We used to call it communism, right, and get all freaked out about it. They still call themselves communists. In the 6 weeks since the revelations about Dragonfly, this by Ryan Gallagher over at TheIntercept.com, in the 6 weeks since the revelations about Dragonfly, Google still has not publicly addressed concerns of the project, despite facing a major backlash, both internally and externally. So we'll see how this shakes out. But how do we deal with this? Is there a good way in the United States to regulate the behavior of companies when they're working to the advantage and to the benefit of regimes that might be hostile to us? I think if you wanted to talk about this in terms of national security rather than values, that, the obvious big stuff is that we can't build a cruise missile now in the United States without chips from China. We have so depleted our technological ability, our manufacturing ability, because these big corporations simply want to increase their profits. Their shareholders want to make more money. Their CEOs and their senior executives want to make more money. And it's going to come at the expense of the workers. Right? Screw the workers, send the jobs to China, and then where do the tax dollars go? China. And where is the economic activity happening? China. I lived in China in the month of November in 86. In November of 86. I lived in Beijing for a year. I was staying at the Beijing International Acupuncture Teaching Hospital. I had three roommates, two doctors, and a guy from Japan. I never got quite sure exactly what his title was. One was Pablo, has become a friend, and we've kept in touch over the years. He was a psychiatrist from Colombia. He's now practicing in New York, I believe, at Bellevue. And at that time, in 1986, you could walk around Beijing and never see a car. There were no skyscrapers. There were no neon lights. There was no advertising. There were no signs. The streets, this was November, so it was getting cold. The streets had these piles of coal briquettes in the middle of every street, and people would just go out and get them, and they would heat one room in their house, with their little stove. And the whole city of Beijing had this coal smoke haze over it, which wasn't incredibly oppressive, but it was noticeable. The tallest building in the city at that time, as I could find, was either the Hilton or Sheraton Hotel, I forget which, I think it was the Hilton, on the edge of town. It was a 10-story skyscraper, right? It was a 10-story hotel, looked kind of like a Holiday Inn, and with a steakhouse up on the top floor and a pizza place. And China has gone from that in 1986 during the Reagan administration to now being the second largest economy in the world. They're on the edge of eclipsing us as the largest economy in the world. because American businesses decided that they would rather pay lower wages to Chinese workers than pay American workers. And now it's, you know, hey, you know, we gave them this, we gave them a middle class. Now we want to make money off their middle class. Meanwhile, over at Facebook, since it's going to be kind of a tech theme here, and by the way, let me toss in one other thing. Elizabeth Warren just came out and called for Amazon to be broken up, to say, Amazon, you know, you can be in the manufacturing business if you want. You can make your own cables. You can make your own electronics. You can make your own goodies, whatever it may be. Or you can be in the retail business, but you can't compete with your own retailers. So she's calling for Amazon to be broken up. Facebook, meanwhile, is allowing censorship of news and political content. And here's where it gets really weird. They brought five organizations in to tell them what is fake news and what isn't. And one of those five organizations is the Weekly Standard, Bill Kristol's organization. Bill Kristol, the right-wing neocon who was, you know, from 98, agitating for us to invade Iraq. Bill Kristol, the guy who told John McCain picking Sarah Palin would be a great idea. Bill Kristol, the guy who for years and years and years has been in favor of privatizing Social Security and ending Medicare. Bill Kristol, the right-wing crank, his newspaper, his magazine, the Weekly Standard, is one of them. And they came out, you know, thinkprogress.org is a great website, Center for American Progress. And they did a fact-checking piece on Kavanaugh, Think Progress did, and Roe v. Wade, pointing out that, you know, this guy has spoken in the past against Roe v. Wade. And well, actually, it was the story that I opened the show with that I was talking about in the first hour, that Brett Kavanaugh said, right, you know, to all of us, this is the story, that sure enough, he wants to apply this test to Roe v. Wade. Has it traditionally been the case in America that we have not tolerated abortion? And he's obviously the opinion that that is the case, that we have not tolerated abortion. Paul in Woodinville's facts notwithstanding, this is what Kavanaugh thinks and what many of these guys think. And when this was published, the Weekly Standard labeled it false. And this is what Think Progress says about this one. An article is labeled false under Facebook's third-party fact-checking system. Groups that share that article on Facebook, so that could be like me, you know, if I said, hey, read this Think Progress article. Groups that share that article on Facebook receive a notification informing them that the article, received a false rating, in quotes, and that, quote, pages and websites, end quote, that share the piece, quote, will see their overall distribution and their ability to monetize and advertise removed. So if you're using Facebook as part of your business and the Weekly Standard doesn't like an article about Brett Kavanaugh that Think Progress has published, and you reprint that thing from Think Progress, you're going to be in trouble. I mean, this is crazy stuff. And by the way, Laura Clausen writing about this over at Daily Kos today, the Weekly Standard has no liberal counterpart. You don't see Think Progress or Democratic Underground or Common Dreams or Alternet or the Independent Media Institute or the Tom Hartman Program. None of us were invited to check what the Weekly Standard and their buddies on the hard right are up to. The Weekly Standard has no liberal counterpart as a fact checker at Facebook. And no wonder. Facebook's head of global news partnerships is Campbell Brown. Remember Campbell Brown from CNN years ago? Turns out she's a hardcore right-wing Republican. I always figured that was the case from watching her on TV, the way she'd spin stories back during the Bush era. She was so, you know, she so loved George W. Bush and the war in Iraq and all that stuff. It just, you know. And eventually, you know, CNN said, enough, enough. But now she's over at Facebook, and she's the head of their global news partnerships. She's against public education. She's against teacher unions. She has deep ties to the Republican Party. It's incredible. And finally, I'll pick up your phone calls as soon as I finish this rant, but Chuck Grassley, I mentioned at the very top of the show that we now know what the letter is that was given to Dianne Feinstein apparently a couple days ago. It's a woman who, as a high school student from a high school down the street from Brett Kavanaugh's school, says that Brett Kavanaugh and one of his friends held her down, Kavanaugh put his hand over her mouth, her friend turned up the music at this loud drunken party in an attempt to rape her, and she was able to get away, but it was apparently a sincere attempt, and she's pretty traumatized by it. And oddly enough, 2 hours after this story hits the news, Chuck Grassley comes out with a letter signed by 65 women, saying, Brett Kavanaugh didn't assault us. In fact, the letter says, for the entire time we have known Brett Kavanaugh, he has behaved honorably and treated women with respect. Which raises the question, when did Chuck Grassley start contacting women who knew Brett Kavanaugh 30 years ago? I mean, that's not something you can do in 10 minutes. That's not something you can do in a week. How long has Chuck Grassley known that there are credible rape allegations against Brett Kavanaugh so that Chuck Grassley saw it necessary to go out and build a case for his defense? And how is this going to play in an era where we've got, you know, President Grab Them, along with apparently now Supreme Court Justice Grab Them, who's going to join Clarence Thomas, who was the original Supreme Court, you know, Grab Them guy. Where is this going to go? Is this going to even cause, you know, Fox News or the Republican Party to say, maybe we shouldn't do this? Somehow I doubt it. But it may filter down to the American voter. It may filter down to the United States. Let's hope. But what the heck is going on here with Chuck Grassley?
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Back with your calls in just a moment. It's Anything Goes Friday on the Tom Hartman Program. Talk media for the rest of us. And welcome back. Paul in Lucerne, California. Hey, Paul, thanks for watching us on Free Speech TV. What's on your mind?
Hey, Tom. I just wanted to talk a little bit about pot and concentrates. If you're not a heavy pot smoker, you really should stay away from concentrates.
All right.
Like that guy I was talking earlier, the reason why he was having stomach cramps and stuff like that, he was basically suffering a THC overdose.
Hmm.
And that's what happens. The only time you can really feel any comfort is when you're putting warm water or a warm blanket on your stomach. Because unless you've been a heavy smoker like me for over 30 years, you can't take heavy doses of concentrate. It will overdose you.
Yeah.
And you were talking about using a vape pen. You really don't want to use those. Get yourself a dab bong and buy some dab. And make sure when you buy your dab, it's from Nug Runs.
But dab is just as concentrated as the liquid.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
Okay, enlighten me then.
I actually work for a guy that has a manufacturing license, and he makes the stuff for dab pens, and he makes wax. Wax is just, I could take 60 ounces of Keef, run it through my machine, okay, pull out all my stuff, and get about 25 grams back.
Right.
Okay? Now, in order for me to put that into a pen, that 25 grams is going to be concentrated to about 7 grams. I'm going to pull a lot more stuff out of it. The only thing I want is the THC.
But you're creating, we're back to creating the concentrate. I mean, why not just smoke raw herb?
That's what it is.
Or vaporize raw herb with a tornado or what are they called? Volcano, I guess they call it.
Yeah, that's the best way to smoke weed if you have lung problems or you're older.
Yeah.
But smoking weed, actually, if you live in a city, smoking weed is actually good for you because it will protect your lungs against smog, and there's lots of proof for that.
No, I've seen the studies that, you know, literally lifetime pot smokers have lower rates of lung disease than people who've never smoked anything. So apparently there's some sort of protective or therapeutic benefit there. But
it's not bad for you. Yeah. But the reason why, if you want to do concentrates, make sure it was run with a nug because you're going to get the CBDs, the sugars, you're going to get everything with it, and it's all going to be concentrated. And you want to get yourself a little dab bong and a little torch. You heat your bong up.
Yeah, that's,
you wait 35
that's just
seconds.
Way too high-tech for me, Paul. I'm sorry.
Yeah, then just get yourself a pot pipe.
I'm old-fashioned.
Buy some pot. That's what you want to do.
All right. Paul, thanks a lot for the call. Yeah, good to hear from you. Dave in Federal Way. Oh, you know, hey, Dave, you're listening on Sirius. Let's see here. William in Stuart, Florida. William, we have just a minute. You got a quick one?
Two quick ones. One is, how about Rusicans instead of...
Instead of Republicans?
Exactly. Rusicans.
I don't think that's going to last real long, but anyhow, what's the second one?
Might not, but it's... Yeah. And the other is the GOF, the Grand Old Fascists.
G-O-F.
Just quick shots.
Yeah.
Then I was going to say one other thing. We have to worry about the fragility of our democracy. I believe you made a point the other day that the middle class was actually formed due to the Flint strike. with
to a large extent,
GM.
Yeah, the Flint sit-down strike spread nationwide fast.
Right, with Buick.
Yep.
Well, just think about the idea that that middle class that was created really only lasted 45 years, because once Ronald Reagan came in and just started trying to destroy the unions, and now basically has, outside of public employee unions,
he's done
45 year period.
He's done it. William, I got to run, but you know, spot on. It all began with Reagan. It's what it's going to say on my headstone. We'll be back. Welcome back. It's Anything Goes Friday, 22 minutes past the hour. And John in Asheville, North Carolina, listening on AM 880, The Revolution. Do I have that right, John?
That's right. Thank you, Tom.
What's up?
Listen to you a lot.
Thank you.
Here's my concern. The FDIC has lost its power to lend for under like emergency circumstances. This was just like in the paper yesterday. There was an article with Timothy Geithner. And my concern is that overall, if 2008 were to happen again and the FDIC could not step in with $862 billion QE package for every year or 6 months, the economy wouldn't have picked up again. When Trump was campaigning, he had said, when we hit $24 trillion, folks, that's the magic number. That's when the game is over. That's what he said. I don't know if you recall him saying that
while he was campaigning.
Okay.
So where are we at right now, and what's FDIC's role in this? I thought it was the Fed that was buying, quote, troubled assets, you know, the bad mortgages that the banks had sold and still had on their balance sheets.
Geithner said that we are in a situation where unless we are on the brink of collapse, Congress will have to act to approve financial resources, emergency funds, but they can't be done before then. And right. So what that means is that, look, imagine 2008 without QE, okay? Just imagine.
Well, QE didn't kick in for almost 2 years, or a year and a half anyway. I mean, you know, the main thing was TARP. They, you know, there was this massive, you had 20-some-odd trillion dollars that the Fed was bailing out everybody from billionaires in Oman to Deutsche Bank that we didn't learn about for, what, 3-4 years until Bernie and Ron Paul, or Rand Paul, got their audit of the Fed and we found out that this had happened. And then you had, you know, the Treasury Department. But TARP was, you know, that was authorized by Congress. That was our tax dollars, I believe. Buying bad mortgages from the banks so that the banks didn't go down with the mortgages, right? And retiring them.
Look, my concern is that the GOPP, PP tape, that their concern is that they're looking to shake out loose hands again. And just sort of potentially, if that were to happen again, and the economy did not have the availability to recover, they said, well, we just don't have the money because we had $24 trillion in debt, like I said when I was campaigning. But that would essentially, and we have to pay it back, and we're going to do that through maybe cuts through, you know, their favorite targets, which is Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security.
Right.
It just looks like very ominous to me a little bit. I don't mean to be
I'm completely with you, John. The whole thing looks very ominous to me, and we have an economy that is being kept alive by debt, and you know, by government basically creating this money. And banks creating money. I mean, you know, it's...
And it seems to me that, yeah, the tax cut may have boosted the economy, but he's also thrown a lot of chairs at the feet of the economy with tariffs and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So it looks like, you know, it's like a house of cards, and I'm a little concerned about the next recovery. I see it as a potential to enslave the American people. I see it as a potential to make Russia great again. Everything he says, like if your news is fake... it's a witch. He's talking about himself.
Yep.
Everything he says is about himself.
And has been all along, right down to American Carnage. I agree. And I share your concern about, you know, where this is going and what we're going to do with it. I don't have an easy solution. I think that, you know, we should have Number one, we should have been bailing out homeowners rather than banks. We should have let the banks fail. We never should have gone along with Reagan in 83 when he stopped enforcing the Sherman Act. Now you've got, in literally every industry, not just banking, in every industry, you've got organizations that are too big to fail, and it's very, very dangerous. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
Well, it's Anything Goes Friday. We'll be back with more of the news of the day and your calls right after this. Occupying the media 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. Tom Hartman. Welcome back. Some other news of the day that I wanted to touch on. Students at Harding University are holding a candlelight vigil for Botham Jean, the young African-American who was murdered by Dallas police officer Amber Geiger. Well, killed. She's been charged with manslaughter. She walked into what she thought was her apartment, she a white woman, and here was a black man, and she pulled out her gun and killed him. So what are the Dallas police doing about this? Well, according to Botham Jean's lawyer, quote, they went in to his apartment. They got a search warrant to search his apartment, and they found 3/10 of an ounce, or almost 4/10, 0.37 ounces of marijuana in his apartment. Oh, my God. And so this is what the lawyer says. This is Lee Merritt, the attorney for Gene's family. They went in with the intent to look for some sort of criminal justification for shooting the victim. It's a pattern we've seen before. We have a cop who clearly did something wrong, and instead of investigating the homicide, instead of going into her apartment and seeing what they can find, instead of collecting evidence relevant for the homicide investigation, they went out specifically looking for ways to tarnish the image of this young man. This is, you know, it's the Michael Brown story all over again. Meanwhile, Chad McDonald posted this over on Facebook, I believe it was. Trump left 3,000 Americans with brown skin to die, and now he's denying they ever existed. And he did in a tweet day before yesterday. No, there was not 3,000 Puerto Ricans who died. That, says Chad McDonald, is ethnic cleansing. And I have to absolutely agree with that. And finally, I just wanted to put this on your radar. We can talk more about it on Monday, I suppose. In New York State, apparently in 2016, there was a giant purge of voters in 2016. And apparently, people have not been unpurged. All kinds of people showed up to vote in the Democratic primary yesterday and or day before yesterday, and they were not on the list. Rebecca Triester says this was 8:30. The poll watcher who helped me, we said the second person she spoke to, another woman who said she was active, regular voter, not in the books. She was not in the books. Linda Polygreen, editor-in-chief of Huffington Post, former director at the New York Times, happened to me too. Her information was scrubbed from the Democratic Party's rolls. Jess McIntosh, she lives in New York. She does the Signal Boost show on Sirius XM from noon to 1 Eastern time. She went to vote Thursday morning. I guess it was yesterday, Thursday morning. And she writes, I had to assert my rights for the first time at a polling place today. Reminder, if you're in the right place and not on the rolls, sign an affidavit and cast a provisional ballot. Yeah, do that by all means, but don't expect it to be counted. Provisional ballots, the vast majority of provisional ballots are never counted. They're placebo ballots. This was written into the Help America Vote Act in 2002, or maybe it was 2005, whichever year it was. In any case, the Help America Vote Act was basically a vehicle to transfer $5 or $6 billion from federal tax dollars into the hands of the for-profit voting machine companies, ES&S, Diebold, and others, to set up this nationwide system of electronic voting machines that have served us so very well with Redshift and everything else, right? So anyway, and when Help America Vote Act was passed, they created this thing called provisional ballots, so that nobody would ever think that they'd been turned away. And most people who are given a provisional ballot don't realize that it will never be counted. Kristen Richardson says, three of us were in line, not on the voting rolls, in my polling place in Clinton Hill. This is the first affidavit ballot I've ever had to cast. Virgil Texas, a podcast author, a host and author, says he was purged, Virgil. Naomi Const, I retweeted her thing. She said, went into vote skipping, but just found out my name was not listed on the roll at my polling place, despite having the recently sent documentation from the Board of Elections with me. I had to fill out a provisional. Kia Cruz, a fiction author, is the exact same thing. I wasn't able to vote today because my party had been mysteriously changed without my permission. I filled out an affidavit and hope my vote eventually counts, but this is just a reminder that our voting systems are messed up. This is in New York State. And apparently, you know, this freelance writer, Suzanne Zappello, seems like the 2016 purge of Democrat voters in New York during the primary was never fixed. And it's weird that all the people I know having to file an affidavit ballot were Bernie voters in 2016 and Cynthia voters today. And it goes on like that. So I don't know that it's specifically targeted Bernie or Cynthia or anything like that. But there, you know, something is rotten in Denmark here. And hopefully the New York State is going to start working and getting to the bottom of all this. Kurt in Madison, Wisconsin. Hey, Kurt, what's up?
Hi, Tom. I want to bounce off of one of the previous callers. And I would pose that what Schumer did was a huge mistake. And I'm going to reference back to Harry Reid, where he trusted McChinless. And look what that resulted in. It was just more damage to the party. This is one reason I left the party. I'm a progressive. I enjoy your show. But I think it's time, and this is why I think the millennials who are progressive would like to be Democrat. The Democrats are unable to demonstrate that they have a spine, and they've done it once again. If they would have stood their ground with McConnell and said, fine, we're sitting good. You guys are in control of the House. You're the only ones to take blame for what goes down.
But if they can't get back to their districts to campaign, Kurt, they're going to lose their elections. It's that simple. And that's the Hobson's choice that McConnell presented them with. Either go back to your district and, you know, forfeit your responsibilities here in the Senate and hand your opponents ready-made advertisements. He can't even show up to vote. Or, you know, approve these judges and I'll give you the time off.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but I'm going to have to disagree.
Which choice would you make?
Well, you know what? The Democrats have to start demonstrating they're not going to be threatened. And this has been going on forever, Tom. Look what I'm going to go.
If you can come up with a threat,
Harry Reid.
No, Harry Reid's long gone. Kurt, if you can come up with a threat that the Democrats could have used against Mitch McConnell to prevent this from happening, I would love to hear it. If you've got a solution to this problem you're identifying, please tell me. I don't have a solution to it.
I'm just stating what I'm observing.
Okay, so you're just saying, no, we need to stand up and have a spine, but without... Yeah, okay, Kurt, I get it. I don't have a solution, and apparently you don't either, and that's what we need. We, you know, and I think, you know, it may well be that Mitch McTurtle has got Schumer, you know, over the barrel here. Daniel in Sacramento. Hey, Daniel, what's on your mind?
Hey, I just wanted to bring something to your attention. Maybe keep an eye on Sacramento over the next few months. We just started our 5G. We are the first city in the U.S. to start 5G as of yesterday morning.
Hmm. 5G is the new cell phone technology that uses higher frequencies, which have shorter distances.
And shorter wavelengths.
Right, so you have to have a whole lot more towers.
Flash.
Right.
Yeah. So towers are, the Verizon's saying that they've been able to get the towers every 2,000 feet in Sacramento. Not everywhere in Sacramento is covered. They're saying that it's going to be completely covered by January 1st, 2019.
Right.
So, I mean, there's a lot of really enticing stuff in there for customers, but just something to keep an eye on because we're going to be the test subject now for the entire country about what 5G can do to our health.
Right. So. Well, and you know, unfortunately, we probably won't know for a decade or two. This is a concern of a lot of people.
People who live in Sacramento will be the first people to really show signs.
Okay. All right. Stay tuned to this signal here. This bat signal. Mark in San Francisco, listening on AM 910. Hey, Mark, what's up?
Hey, Tom, how you doing?
Good. It's on your mind.
Good. Well, anyway, I wanted to bring up the fact I think the Democrats really need to message to the older senior people in this country that the Republicans want to destroy Social Security and Medicare.
Oh, aggressively.
And voting Republican.
Yeah, and Donald Trump is out there lying through his teeth about it. You saw in his speech in Montana 3 days ago, I think it was, he said the Democrats are coming for your Social Security and Medicare. They're going to ruin it. Lying through his teeth. I mean, it's just, I'm with you, and it's something that needs to get more publicity, how the Republicans have been working so long to do this. Jim in Los Angeles. Hey, Jim, thanks for listening to KPFK. You have a solution for stopping the Republicans?
We're stopping them from cheating at the polls, but I need the help of your 7 million listeners. And I also, FYI, I have been studying at Tom Hartman University for 7,500 hours
now. Okay. So what do you have, Jim?
One, count your vote. You know, if we go to every polling, I mentioned this to Greg Palast when you had him on. Have two people with affidavits at every voting place. Put it out there that if the vote counters cheat, you can go to jail. Two people in Pennsylvania went to jail for 14 years for elections counting the votes wrong.
Right.
Deliberately. But have two people and maybe an attorney, but have affidavits. I voted.
This is what, by the way, if I may interrupt, Jim, this is what the Democrats used to do. I mean, there used to be these people who were watching the elections and whatnot. And back in the 2000, I believe it was the 2004 election, I could be wrong, it was the one where the UN wanted to come in and observe our elections. States, Republican-controlled states, red states, started passing laws against election observers. And so now, unless you're voting or unless you've been hired by the county, you can't get into a lot of these places. So, spot on, Jim, I'm with you, but, we've got some big challenges.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
It's 15 minutes before the hour, 45 past. We'll be back with more of your calls on Anything Goes Friday in just a moment. And welcome back. Judy watching Free Speech TV in Denver. Hey, Judy, what's up?
Hey, Tom, thanks. The National Defense Authorization Act under cybersecurity section has given some of the corporate news agencies, Facebook, Google, etc., the right and the ability to decide what is propaganda and what is not. They gave $60 million for it. And I looked it up, read it under the National Defense Authorization Act section under cybersecurity. So they are doing what Obama, and this happened when Obama signed the NDAA in 2016. It was a part of it.
Let me get this straight, Judy. I might have gotten distracted. You're saying that the NDAA, the appropriations bill for the Pentagon that has to be renewed every 2 years by the
yes.
Constitution, the most recent iteration of this has a provision that that gives responsibility for defining what's fake news and what's real news to who? Whom?
Facebook, Google, CBS, ABC, NBC, CNN.
Explicitly?
NBC,
by name?
Fox.
Are they named in the legislation?
Exactly who in the NDAA, but it is to the corporate media and
yeah,
the internet.
Judy, I've never heard of that, and it seems unenforceable.
I looked it up.
Okay.
So it's in the NDAA under cybersecurity section.
Okay. I'll have
and
to.
And also, we're putting people in prison now for peacefully protesting. How is that different from China?
Yeah, I'll have to look it up. Judy, thanks for the heads up on that. I don't know if that's the case or not. I need to look it up. Mario in San Diego. Hey, Mario, what's up?
Hi, Tom. Can you hear me?
I hear you just fine.
Great. A good friend of mine from Europe called me and told me about a little company in Nebraska called Genie Oil. And what he told me about the chairman board members, who is Dick Cheney, Rupert Murdoch, the Rothschild family, and the Rothschild family stopped the Koch brothers from being a chairman of the small company. And I believe he was telling me that it's about oil in Syria, about a small place called Golem Hill. And I'm wondering if you know anything about this, and if you can enlighten us.
Well, the southern end of Syria is the Golan Heights, that overlooks Israel. And I don't know that oil has been discovered there. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. That region is fairly oil-rich, although Israel doesn't have any. But all the rest of that, Mario, kind of seems to me like generic conspiracy theory. I mean, as soon as you bring the Rothschilds in, all you're missing is George Soros.
Oh, I see. Hmm. So. Well, it sounded too kind of same thing to me when he told me about the people on the board members and the small company in Nebraska.
Yeah, this is how Alex Jones makes his millions. We don't need to go down that road. Selling men's vitamins. I mean, it's like that.
Well, thank you so much, Tim. I believe more you than anybody else.
Thank you, Mario. Thank you. Yeah, always. If something seems too weird to be true, typically it is. Just like, too good to be true. And that's definitely too weird to be true. We'll be right back. It's 10 minutes before the hour. Welcome back. Anything Goes Friday here on the Tom Hartman program. And Armando, or is it Armando in Houston, Armando. Texas? Armando, what's up?
Yes, I was just noticing that people were saying that about the Trump economy, how it was so improved and everything. But I've also noticed that even on MSNBC, I haven't heard anything about the other factors, like how since the Great Recession, 8 out of every 10 jobs were low income. Dead end temporary jobs, or how the real unemployment rate, the 15-16%.
And we still, since the Reagan administration, we haven't been counting people who have dropped out of the job market. And it doesn't mean that they want to be unemployed. It just means that there's no jobs. I mean, we don't count people in rural West Virginia, for example.
Yeah, but are these factors, have they changed any? Because, I mean, it's almost like we're surrendering to the Trump administration by saying that everything's great. I've met people that say, I still haven't found a job and the economy's not really great for me. But yeah.
No, that's the norm.
Why are we doing this?
There is a great op-ed in today's New York Times calling for a new set of metrics. And Bernie Sanders used to make this argument on this show all the time. The Department of Labor actually comes up with an unemployment rate. I think it's called Unemployment E. And it actually includes so-called discouraged workers. So whether it's in the inner city or whether it's in rural West Virginia or Wyoming, people who can't find a job because there literally are no jobs, right now we don't count them as part of the unemployment rate. So structural unemployment is absolutely vanished. It's vanished from our numbers. And so we kind of pretend it doesn't exist.
And what about the people that are being hired? Are they good jobs or are they just suck-ass?
No, you're absolutely right. The vast majority of jobs being created are temporary jobs, number one, that have no benefits and no job security and that pay at or near minimum wage. And number two, the functional equivalent of temporary jobs in real companies. So,
why aren't Democrats using this as a talking point?
They have been. This is something Mark Pocan has talked about this on this show. Ro Khanna has talked about this on this show. Bernie Sanders has talked about it for decades. It's just they talk about it all the time. You just will not hear it being talked about on the corporate media because the corporate media does not want to be the little boy who says the emperor has no clothes. That's the bottom line, in my opinion. Fred in Los Angeles. Hey, Fred, what's up?
Hi. Well, I want to talk a little bit about vocabulary.
Okay.
That seems to be one of the topics of the day. First of all, it's not Republicans, it's Republicans.
Yeah, or Republicans.
Can't have that, can't have this, can't have anything else. Second of all, to substitute for the F word, I think we should use the word frack like they did on Battlestar Galactica because fracking is certainly dirtier.
Yeah, okay. All right. That's
The third one would be when they say tax, the Democrats tax and spend, the Democrats should come back and say, yeah, tax the rich and spend on the middle class, and Republicans are addicted to Coke.
Yeah. Exactly. They're all cokeheads. Well done, Fred. And I would add borrow and spend because, you can call the Democrats tax and spend. The Republicans are borrow and spend. Catherine in Walnut, Kansas. Hey, Catherine, thanks for watching us on Free Speech TV. What's on your mind?
First time caller. Love your show.
Thank you.
Just watch it as often as I can. The political commercials that are going on down here in southeast Kansas, there's Claire McCaskill, and they're so positive. And, there's no mudslinging or anything, and it's just so refreshing to watch those compared to the Koch brother, I'm sure, backed ones that just, and they are, I'm sure, going for the Republican politician, but it's just hateful, mean, just horrible. Yeah. And, you know, I noticed that the other day, that when I was watching one of hers, I thought to myself, my God, you know, this, how you can go, okay, I'm going to go for the hateful mean, then to, you know, do that. But anyways, on the free speech fund drive thing, I really wish they would have billboards advertising free speech, because I found it just changing channels on the TV. Mm-hmm. That's how I found it, and I'm addicted to it.
Yeah. Yeah, billboards would be great. Bumper stickers would be great. There's lots of ways to spread the word, and all of them need to be done. Catherine, thank you for the call.
Okay.
I have to move along, but I want to try and get a couple more calls in here before the end of the hour, and I have 1 minute left. Liz in Las Cruces, New Mexico. Hey, Liz, thanks for watching Free Speech TV.
Oh, Tom, I just adore your show.
Thank you.
It's a light in the world, and... I also want to thank the state of New Mexico for the medical marijuana program.
Mm-hmm.
It's really helping me with a seizure condition that I developed late in life.
Oh, good.
And
I'm glad it's helping.
And
but we have about 30 seconds, Liz. Is that what you called about?
One thing I would like to see change is, if possible, since it is medical, why isn't it? Why don't I get help? Why don't other people get help? The way we do with pharmaceuticals that help us with our conditions.
That's a great point. That's a great point. I would love to see, you know, Medicare Part D start paying for dispensary costs. I mean, it just makes sense. You've got a lot of people who are using medical marijuana to deal with chronic pain, to deal with Crohn's disease, to deal with, you know, autoimmune disorders, to deal with, I mean, just a whole spectrum of things. And to deal with anxiety around all of the above as well, to deal with insomnia around all of the above. Liz, thank you for the call. Excellent, excellent, excellent point. Thanks so much for being with us this week. Seems like the week just flew by. There's so much going on. And we need to be paying attention to these things, even the small things like, you know, Brett Kavanaugh did what? It's so easy for it to all get lost in the sea of bile coming out of Washington, D.C. and the Trump administration, but we do have to stay focused. So thanks so much for participating with us in this program. And don't forget, democracy is not a spectator sport. It does require you. You, me, all of us. We have to get out there, get active, tag. You're it.
You've
see you Monday.
You've been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit TomHartman.com.